And that is the reason why, even though God has blessed us throughout the years of our ministry, and as you see, the broadcast that's going out and the sound that's going out, even though we can't get to all of the places, some way, somehow, the word gets to them. Or they hear about it from the magazine, and then someone tells them where the church is, or they learn by some means when they find out that you are affiliated with this church. Amen. Then they want it, those who love truth, even though it is difficult for the human being to adjust himself to it. But they would prefer something that's sure and something that's certain. Yeah. And this is the reason why we have stayed in the apostles' doctrine. Yeah. As you're going back to your homes, I want you to take this thought with you. No matter how much good works you do, how much you pray and how much you fast, if you do not tell the truth, all of your work is in vain. Amen. It is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The low value that truth has on the market to most folks. Here's something that is more precious than the finest gold, more precious than any stones, any rubies, any diamonds, but it has such low esteem. Of course, the scripture told us that. It said he was bruised for our transgressions. It said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. It said, yet we esteemed him not. And he was truth. He was the way, he was the truth. He is the life. He was the truth, and he was esteemed not. Instead of being esteemed, instead of being elevated, they said there must be something wrong with him. Anybody that goes through all that affliction. And they said that he was afflicted of God. You had better examine your behavior and your conversation. Because let me tell you one thing. Before you know it, you can become one of the world's experts in the art of prevarication. Lying, in other words. And you don't realize how you so readily received your diploma. I started preaching this message in Jacksonville, and I didn't have time. And I've been waiting for the time to come back again. And today is the day. So I let the choir sing so you get some of your happiness and joy, because you know when you start talking about folks lying, you get a quiet crowd. Either because they've told one, or they're sitting thinking and wondering, saying, Lord, is it I? I've seen people that would think it was a horror, and it is, to commit adultery, fornication. They wouldn't smoke, they wouldn't drink, and some wouldn't even take anything from you, but lie.
Amen.
Lie to the extent that they will tell it, and then after they have to tell it again, it becomes so plausible to them. Amen. And when you find them out, they become angry. Because they finally begin to convince themselves. Why is it you think that people obey false doctrine? And then you can see the danger of it. It's because they love lies. They love things about Christmas and fantasy. Oh, they love that. No matter what they do, even if they're going to go and get their automobile license, they tell a lie. They fill out the income tax, they tell a lie. They go to try to get some money from somebody, they tell a lie. And the devil makes them think that they've done something for themselves. But remember, those of you who are baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, those of you who know the truth of God, you do not lie if you know what is good for you. No, 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 no. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. No, no. Because don't you know this? How can you be in the faith and lie? The scripture says in Revelation 22:15, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh. You find folks said, what is your business? What business are you in? And they'll tell you that they're in plumbing or they're in carpentry or construction or maybe dressmaking or their lawyer or something else. But perhaps they should tell you that they are a manufacturer. Amen. Say, what do you manufacture? They manufacture lies. For they love it and make it a lie. All of these are going to have their part. He said all liars are going to have their part in a lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. And this is the reason why you have to contend for the faith, because most things that you do, when you do one thing wrong, you generally, it will follow that you've got to lie about it, which complicates and compounds. The unfaithful husband, he doesn't stop with adultery, but he must constantly learn and develop an expertise of lies, a whole network of them, as to why he didn't come in, as to where he was. And what happens is if a person doesn't mean to do right, after a while they just get tired of making them up. And they don't care if one, they don't get tired of lying, you know, they get tired of making up convincing sounding ones. And they don't care if the one they told today contradicts the one they told yesterday. And when you tell them, say, but you said thus and so yesterday, said, I know I said that, but then here comes the next one. And after a while, they just become fantastic. They'll tell you just fantastic ones and won't even look away. Won't hang their heads, won't do anything. Said, why are you so late coming home? Said, well, on the turnpike, said a bear got it loose from the zoo or somewhere, and he got right in front of my car and lifted it up and held it up high, and that all the traffic was stopped, and they had to come and get the car down, and then they didn't know what was wrong with the car. I had to go to the mechanic, anything. And you've been listening to the news all day long, and I haven't heard nothing about a bear lifting up a car on the turnpike. If you're not careful, the wife, she may be faithful, but she tends sometimes to lie to the husband for the children. When the father comes and asks where the children are, and she knows he's going to reprove them, she tells something to protect the child, these kind of protective lies. But when you make lies your refuge, and when truth comes, it's going to overshadow everything that you've done. Remember that you are not sons of God, not sons and daughters of God, when you are a liar. The scripture says this in John 8:44. Ye are of your father the devil. Yes, you are. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. And it puts you right in the same category again as it did in Revelations with a murderer. Said he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and he's the father of it. The father of it. When someone is born again of the water and of the Spirit, you learn that if someone gave you the wrong information, or if you did not perceive all the facts, that you will in some way go back and alter and bring the thing out the way it was. Other than that, you will be of your father the devil. Some little small trivial thing, you might think that someone was in the house or someone was not in the house, then you found that they were upstairs. You just don't let that just drift on. It's important enough to keep your vessel clean. To go back to the person who you said that they know they were not here. Said, I'm sorry, I said they weren't here, but they were upstairs and I did not know it. That's important enough to your salvation. It seems like a trivial thing, but it's the little foxes that destroy your vine. It starts off on a small scale and it grows. It grows like fungus until your entire mind and heart is corroded. Why does it say that the devil was the father of lies? Because he tells the first recorded one. In Genesis, the third chapter, the first to the third to the fourth verses, he says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And this is the first recorded lie in Bible history. The devil tells the woman, he says, and the serpent said unto her, ye shall not surely die. If the Lord said something's going to come to pass, it's God who cannot lie. You see, in Titus 1 and 2. Titus, the first chapter, the first and the second verse, said, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of his truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie had promised before the world began. And when you have a hope of eternal life, you learn how to practice the truth. Therefore, lying is about as old as man. And if you take Satan, the Bible said he was a liar from the beginning. And he was before man was created. There was a sound that went out to God wanted to find a man whose heart wasn't corrupt, who in whom there was no guile, a man that was upright. And finally, God himself came in the flesh, and they could not find any guile in the man Jesus Christ. Also, it was a famous Greek philosopher, and he was very cynical about humanity, and he had good reason for being Diogenes, who went around the streets of Athens. You've sometimes seen a photograph or a man with a lantern looking like he was searching for something. And he was going through the streets of Athens with his lantern in his hand, looking for an honest man. And you don't find many. And that was about 2,000 years ago or more. But the search is still on today. The Holy Ghost is looking for someone that is honest in heart. Someone who will speak the truth, who will believe the truth when they hear it. Because the scripture says, my sheep know my voice. And a stranger, they will not follow. You won't. Someone can come through preaching all of the lies that were ever conceived and some new ones. And if you really love the truth and it is settled in your heart, your ear will try words as the mouth does meat. And ye shall know the truth. You'll know it when you hear it. You'll know it when you hear it. But it is a weakness of man's character why he succumbs to this temptation. If you were to be, as the scripture says, be strong, to put on the whole armor of God, then you would have strength enough to say the truth, for it does take a strong man and a strong woman in many situations to speak out the thing that is the truth. But you must learn either to say what is the truth, or if it's not expedient at that time, not to say anything at all. That even in your silence, you shouldn't let your silence be interpreted as a lie. Nor should you use language that is deceptive. No, we talk about the whole truth. Well, that's the only truth that is beneficial. Sometimes people won't tell a complete lie, but they'll put enough lie in it that it's not right. They'll tell enough of the truth to make it sound plausible. Like the false prophet. Some false prophets will tell you to be repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin and tell you about getting the Holy Ghost. But then after that, they celebrate Christmas, they celebrate Easter, we have women preachers, the women dress like the world, they have a second companion while their first companion lives. There's so many other things that they lie about. They don't believe in the doctrine of tithes and offerings, or they keep the Sabbath day in the sixth dispensation. It's so many things. Or they believe that there are at least two, that there's a Father God and a Son God. So what good? What did it profit? They're telling that much truth concerning water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost speaking in other tongues. Because if you stay there under that doctrine, then you are going to be lost. You stay there and you fellowship it and you believe it, then you're going to be lost. Man, with all of his intelligence, with all of his so-called learning and training, is about the only creature which God has made that lies. Dogs don't lie. They act like dogs. They bark like dogs. They eat like dogs. Cats, same thing. Birds fly. They remain true to the nature. Bulls do not give milk. You won't find elephants eating a steak. They remain vegetarians the way God made them. And so I wonder, man being so supposedly mentally gifted, being a genius, and has not learned since that time in the Garden of Eden, or has not seen to learn how it is to tell the truth, to walk in the truth, and to live in the truth. And someone might ask that, why do people lie? To start off with, you are of your father the devil. And you don't have the Christ nature when you, or if you suppose to have it, you don't let the Spirit lead you. Some natural reasons why they lie is to increase their sense of importance. People will lie about what they have, how much their house cost, how much their clothes cost, where they've been and what they've done, or what they're supposed to know, anything to increase their sense of importance. But what good is that after they find you out? And you will be found out if you live long enough and lie long enough. After they find you out, then they'll begin to look on you less than they would have if you had said nothing at all. Some people lie to impress other folks that they're more holy than they really are. And oh my, when you get them behind closed doors or press them hard, you find out every time you see them that they're not dipping, they're ducking and they're jerking, and have the most pious testimony. If you would listen to them, you would have certainly thought that they just left the altar of God, the throne of grace. And this lie starts with little children, this type of lie. The one people lie to escape punishment. They think, you may escape the punishment of man, But what are you going to do when the Bible says that all liars shall have their part? Little children will drop things and break them, or they'll lose things and come back and have the biggest lie. No one has to give them a course in lying. Intuitively, by instinct, they learn how to do it. But it takes them all day long to try to teach them to do something positive, something right, and something good. And they will forget that. But oh, they learn how to lie so early. Another is to gain an end that would otherwise be denied them. In other words, that they do it for some kind of gain. They have the choice, said, well, if you tell the truth, said, you won't get that money. Said, but now if you tell a lie, if you could just say such and such a thing, and sometimes lawyers will not actually tell their clients to lie if they're any caliber, but they will kind of gear them that way. Tell them, now, if you could say, most of these accidents cases, Lord, people are supposed to have an accident, and they declare that they're so hurt, and will lay up in bed, or take off from work, and they'll keep on thinking about that pain until they'll think one up. And it really begins to hurt where they've been saying. That's why I tell you, you can speak to certain parts, you can speak to the parts of your body. That's the way your body, your leg goes up, because your brain sends down a message to your right leg, and you don't think of it consciously, but when your right leg must go up, your brain sends down the message to your right leg, and it goes up. And it sends to your left arm, and it goes up. It sends to the message. And when people get paralyzed, this network of communication that you're sending out to the various parts of your body, that's why you can't lift your arm, because part of your brain is paralyzed that would lift up, that used to send the command to your left arm. Amen. That's why you have power over your body. Amen. And you can begin to speak to it and tell it that it must get well in the name of Jesus Christ. Or you can speak to the devil when it comes to try to get in there. Tell him, loose here, get out of these fingers. In the name of Jesus Christ. They keep on until they convince themselves. And when they get the money, don't you know they can even complain about how much they got? Wasn't hurt. And begin to plan how they're going to spend the money before they get it. You know, most of the times, if you can feel the symptoms of something coming on, if you begin dealing with it just at the time, you can do much better. What happens to us in most cases, that when we wait, we just keep pushing it off, and we won't take time to counsel and to pray and to meditate and to believe, because we're busy with other things, and by the time it comes, the pain is so severe, until you then your brain can't think about anything else other than the severity of the pain. Can't hear anything else because the pain is so loud. Until you have to speak over the pain, and most of the times people don't know how to achieve that, or it takes a long time. When the pain starts subsiding, then they're able to deal with the situation better. And by that time, you're getting better anyhow. You find some people, after someone dies, oh, the lies that they can tell. So mama said I was to have this, and I was to have the other. And such lying to achieve. People will lie about someone that is in office so that they can achieve that office. They don't care whether they crush your reputation, whether they destroy you forever, just so that they can get there. But after you get there, you're going to sit there uneasy. You might achieve something through lying, but then you'll never be able to trust those around you, because you're going to think that they're doing the same thing to you. It will keep you suspicious, give you a persecution complex, and make you feel paranoid, like somebody's out to get you, because you have been out to get everybody else. Sure. And what will happen, because you feel like the whole world's out to get you, then you'll be hostile to the world, and then they will, to other human beings, whoever the case might be, then they will come back and retaliate, and you'll make them so angry until one day they will try to get you. It becomes like a circle. If you expect to be believed yourself, then you will have to somewhere along the way have some confidence in what somebody else has told to you until you find out differently. And unless it's a case where you must know today or something of this sort, I'm talking about personal things, not doctrine, you should search it out and prove all things. But in most cases, when you follow behind folks to find out whether they tell the truth or not, in most cases, when you find out the truth of it, particularly if it's a personal matter between husband and wife, why they will do it, I do not know. They're never satisfied. So he lied to you, didn't he? Did he? Then let it be on his conscience. Don't try to prevail with him. He's grown enough. He knows what the truth is. But no, you had to know it all. So you kept on digging. You kept on questioning. Until one day he ran hot. Say, yes, I go with her. Now you can't live with it. But you kept on digging, you kept asking questions till you find out where the person lived. You found out this and you found out the other. And then you saw more than you could stand to see. Amen. Sometimes you have to answer a fool according to his folly. Amen. And what you know, so you know the truth. Did it help you? In that regard, you knew it all the time. You knew the truth of it all the time. If you didn't think that the other case was the truth, then you wouldn't have kept prying. But you kept prying, and it sounds worse when you hear it come out of the other person's mouth, or it sounds worse when you see it with your eyes. The other way, you could have hoped that there would have been some change. But now, you see, knowing the truth carries with it a responsibility. It carries with it a burden. That's why people talk about their friends. You don't have many. Because I agree with the definition of friends, that it's a person that knows most of what it is to know about you, but yet they love you just the same. For perfect love hideth a multitude of sins. And when you find human beings, and if you really love them, you have to think to yourself, did you marry an angel from heaven? Or did you marry one of those old weak, slack mortals? A seducer that's waxing worse. Then you must decide if you love them. Then that's your burden, which you must bear. But then don't you be caught up in lying. You lift the standard so that perhaps through your testimony that you might help them to come to the realization of things. Perhaps they might repent. Because if you don't love them, then it's not worth keeping them around, because a liar is a nuisance and a liar is a bore. But it's a terrible thing when you have lying children and you know that they must stay in the house and you know that you must feed them And you must treat them kind. Or you got a lying husband, and you must treat him kind. And take the napkin and fold it nicely for him at his place. And not sling the food at it, but set it down and ask him, is there anything else that you would like for me to do? That's if you want to be apostolic. Because the scripture says, do good to them that despitefully use you. For a while, they will think that you are the worst fool in the world. In fact, after a while, they will have contempt for you. But then the contempt will begin to fade. And afterwards, if there's any decency in them at all, guilt will begin to come in. And then repentance will follow. You'll be heaping coal on their head.
Amen.
And when you're dealing with, you got an unsaved husband or a backslidden husband or a slack husband, what do you expect out of him? But an unsaved husband, a backslidden one, or a slack one? Just make sure you don't join him in that. Oh, you got children that's way. Make sure you don't join them or justify them in that. Most people think that they're helping someone when they cover up for them or lie for them. But the best thing you ever done for a person is when you tell them the truth. They might fall out with you for a while. But after a while, if they're honest at all, they're going to thank you. Yes, they lie to gain an end that would otherwise be denied them. Or and some folks just lie out of long-standing habit. I say, why do you lie? Because they've been doing it ever since they can remember. And it becomes just like breathing. But once you are baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ, you should learn the habit of telling the truth. And when you think before you speak, you will tell the truth. And then, this is the pathetic type. And all of these people are not really completely demented. But they don't, some of them are rather intelligent. You take the fiction writer, falls into this category, who was really brilliant sometimes. Science fiction writer. The kind of liar that lies because they actually don't seem to know the difference between fact and fantasy. They can't differentiate. They both look alike to them. And they can't see. I talk to people who have not been able to differentiate between the reality of what is going on in their life the day they're talking to me and what they dreamt the night before. They live in an Alice in Wonderland world. It's why old elderly ladies try to dress like young girls and old men try to act like young boys. They're afraid to face the reality that time and chance is happening to them. And the other is true. It's why young men try to act older than their years, because they don't like to face the idea that they're still a child. Don't have that trouble much in women. It is every once in a while, because they like to appear younger. But no matter which kind of liar you are, and for what reason you do it, the Bible says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. I don't know whether they still have those sick and accident policies anymore that you pay in, and then they would send the insurance investigator at your house, and you would draw from the policy so many weeks. Women would have these policies, and I knew a person that was in the house scrubbing, and they sent the insurance doctor or the insurance investigator there to see was they sick, and they had jumped in the bed. Sometimes they had to jump in the bed with their clothes on, and all this dirty water had been running down the arm. Some folks fall into various categories and types. No matter which one it is, it all is destruction and shows that you are of your father, the devil. I've seen them, they're notorious liars. Notorious liars. They haven't done anything else in the world to make them famous or infamous. But their popularity was gained by being the biggest liar in town. Their lying is, and their propensity for lying is widespread. A notorious liar. People will ask, said when they hear something, said, "Who said that?" And then they'll give the name of the person, say, "Who?" Everybody knows they hear from that one. They are a notorious liar. Then there is the professional liar or the consummate liar, the one who lies adroitly, who lies with great skill, the skilled liar. That's the kind who would deceive the very elect. If it were possible. Now may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord preserve your strength. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Almighty. Amen. And to all the saints we say, peace be unto you.